Welcome to the Surviving Grief Podcast, hosted by our grief ministry leaders at Crossroads Church. We'll be sitting down with friends as they share their powerful stories of loss and healing, and we'll hear from grief professionals and other wise people with useful tools for our own time of grief. If you're supporting someone who's grieving, you'll learn how to comfort them and walk with them on their own path to healing. Let's join the conversation.
Welcome to another episode of the Surviving Grief Podcast. My name is Meg Skelfgott.
And I'm Kelly Mayer.
If you're listening today, there is a good chance that you're carrying loss. Maybe it's fresh loss, maybe longstanding, maybe even hidden. Today we're talking about suffering, and not just in the theological debate kind of a way, but in the lived, aching, honest reality of grief. So if you've ever wondered, where is God in this? Where is he in your suffering? Why didn't he stop it, right? Why didn't he prevent whatever you're now suffering for? You're not weak in faith. You're human. And, you know, suffering was never part of the original plan. Take it all the way back to Genesis, right? Scripture gives us language for exactly this kind of pain. So before we get started, I want you to just take a deep breath. So today is not about fixing anything. We are going to just sit. We're going to sit and be here and be present in it as we walk through this idea that suffering is not a failure of faith.
Yes, as you mentioned, Megs, in Genesis 2, you know, everything's perfect, right? We're in Eden, we're with God, we have intimacy, we walk together in the cool of the evening. And then the enemy comes in. And in that breaking of the intimacy with God by Adam and Eve, that's where sin and death and brokenness and suffering come. There was no suffering in the original plan. That was not what God had done. He had set us up to be co-dominion, to have co-dominion over everything, every good thing that he created. But through choices, humanity fell into sin and death. And so here we are. We do endure suffering in our time. But again, it's not an indication of our faith.
I think that one of the most damaging ideas that grieving people absorb is this idea that if I had more faith, if I had just a little bit more faith, this wouldn't hurt so much. But friends, it does not say that in the Bible. You know, some of the most faithful people in Scripture suffered deeply. David, he cried out in despair. Jeremiah wept openly. Job, I mean, he's going through it. He lost nearly everything. And of course, even Jesus, he wept at the tomb of his friend.
Our suffering at certain seasons in our life is not evidence that God has abandoned us. In fact, Jesus knew this so deeply that he tells us very, very, very plainly in John 16:33, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And that, so he doesn't promise us a painless life, but he does promise his presence. And with that, we can endure the suffering. We can get through it, we can walk through it, and we can come out on the other end better and filled with hope.
So I think that the first thing we need to do is we need to reorient to what the Bible actually says about suffering, not what we like vaguely remember. And so we want to start by gently correcting a few just common misunderstandings that we hear in our grief group, we hear in just kind of discussions. So the first one is suffering is not always a punishment. That is not always correlated. The Bible is clear that suffering is not always the result of sin. John 9, Jesus rejects that idea entirely.
So the scene in John 9 is that there is a man who was born blind. And, you know, in these scenes, the Pharisees are always there trying to catch Jesus in something that isn't in correlation with Torah or with the teaching of Scripture. And even the disciples ask, well, Lord, is this man blind because of his sin or the sin of his parents? Because that was the predominant thinking of the day. if someone was not perfect in their bodily functions, right, they were blind or lame or whatever, it was because of sin, and of their sin or the sin of their parents. And Jesus rejects that idea entirely, and he goes on to explain that there's a higher and bigger purpose, and that there is no correlation between the man's blindness and sin. And so that's something that we can take to heart. Suffering is not punishment.
Yeah, the next one would be suffering. It's not minimized by verses. Verses are meant to hold us, not to hush us, right? It's not just rushing us through the process. And so having that deep understanding of what suffering is and specifically what the scripture says about it, I think is so important. You know, in Psalm 34, 18, it says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." You know, notice the language there. It doesn't say God rushes you through grief, but he draws near. He sits with us in that low place.
And that verse is really the foundation of our grief ministry. We know that when we realize that God is not distant, he's not observing us, he isn't far away, when we are suffering, he is actually closer. This is a promise that where he can be found, close to our broken heart. And so there's a lot of hope that can come through that.
Yeah, so if the first two are the misunderstandings, what does the Bible actually say about suffering? And it's very clear that God meets us inside suffering, inside of it. Psalm 43:2 promises presence, not avoidance. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. You don't go around the waters, friends. We go through with God.
And as our Savior, no one represents suffering better than Jesus. He is so intimate, you know, and that's really where our faith is very, very different than other faiths, right? No other God comes down to embody and be with and walk with the people, the created. No creator comes and walks among the created, but ours does. And so that's proof that God doesn't watch us from a distance. He's not up there in heaven with binoculars going, "Oh, I wonder how Kelly's doing in her suffering." Alternatively, what's really happening is that Jesus is locked arms with me, and he's walking me through it. He walks us through our suffering. And a great representation of this is the whole scene with Lazarus, one of his dearest friends. In John 11, before he raises Lazarus, he takes time to grieve. He weeps. He doesn't have to. He's fully God, fully man. He doesn't have to express emotions. But that was one of the reasons that he came as man, so that people could see, oh, God cares about my emotions. He gave me emotions. Here is our Messiah in front of us demonstrating emotion, tough emotion. And he knows that resurrection is coming. He knows what he's going to do next. But he wants to demonstrate to those who love Lazarus that he gets it. I get it. I see how you feel. And I'm with you because I loved him too. And so in the moment of their deepest pain, he cries with them, not from a distance.
You know, I think as we talk about this concept of suffering, it can almost feel like a little clinical. These concepts could feel very foreign to you because it doesn't capture the layers of all-consuming pain that suffering truly dictates. You know, we have worked with so many people over the years who are in deep suffering. And you know, it's not just the loss, it's the complicated grief. It's how, you know, the unfortunate circumstances start to play out. And so I want to be cognizant that we're not maybe doing justice and capturing the full depth that suffering impacts your entire landscape of your life, right? Everywhere you turn, there can be pain attached to it. And you question everything about you and the life that you're leading and the purpose for your life. And so as we talk about drawing near to God, you just might not be in that space where you feel like God is close to the brokenhearted. You may not feel like there's someone on that road with you right now who understands. And so let's talk about that. When God feels silent, what next? Right? Many grieving people, many say, you know, I pray. I'm praying to God, but I don't feel God. I don't feel like he's in the mix with me. And so scripture gives permission for those feelings too. In Psalm 13, it begins, "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever?" You know, friends, that's not rebellion. That is relationship. There are other people who have experienced just what you have. Everything feels disorienting and upside down and painful. You know, each breath feels like work. And so this question of how long, Lord? Gosh, I mean, that's lots of people have had that.
That is a lament. And so one of the most beautiful things that we can learn is, how do we lament? How do I come to God in pain and trust him at the same time? That's really what a lament is. It's a prayer in pain that leads to trust. And a lot of times when people say they don't feel God in their grief, many times it's because they're hiding their emotions from him. And lament is a practice, an ancient practice, of how we can be authentic with our emotions to God and express them and allow, and at the same time maintain our relationship with him. So the model for lament is simply to say to God out loud is always best, "God, this is not how it should be. I'm angry. I'm sad. I'm just get it out." Tell him the truth about how you feel. It's really about how you feel about the situation. The next part is a cry for help. "God, would you please help me with?" And then state your need. The next part is trust. It's then we're going to start making the turn and starting to remember who God's been for us in the past, because we've all had experiences with him when he's been our Savior, our Redeemer, our Provider, and we can begin to recall those times and to speak the truth about his character. And then we can praise him. "God, you're the God who allows me to speak like this to you, because you're the God of endurance. You're the God, you have been a suffering servant, Jesus. You get it, you understand me, and I trust you." And so that practice of lament is the way that we can, and it will restore relationship. You will feel closer to God because you've been authentic.
Well, you know, and I think a reframe around silence is really important. Silence does not mean absence. There, you know, silence can be active. Silence often means that God is holding us in ways that we can't feel yet. Yet is the key word there. You know, sometimes faith is not confidence, but it's endurance. Endurance.
Amen. And silent. When you're listening to someone, you're silent. So God is listening. That's usually what the silence is. And we know from scripture, right? We know from Romans that our suffering produces endurance. And that is what we need. And we can build, the shocking thing is that we can build endurance from our mourning period. And that's just a reflection of God's redemption.
Suffering is going to produce something one way or another, for the better, for the worse. And so let's talk about, what does holy suffering look like? What is it going to produce when we don't rush the process? And we need to be careful here, because something does not automatically make us stronger, right? Grief, we talk about this a lot. You can get bitter in the process. You can get better and draw closer to God in the process. And so when God is present, it can make us deeper.
It's that song that we sing, "Take Me Deeper. I want to know you, Jesus, in your suffering." Those are the words that we sing often here at Crossroads. And there is something very, very holy in that. And we can go deeper with God in the suffering. As Romans 8:18 says, our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. And again, because suffering is a through line in our lives, you know, we don't have to deny the pain. The glory that God brings out of us is not a denial of the pain. It is the fruit that comes from the pain and suffering. He's the God of redemption. He's not going to leave a desolate field. He's going to redeem something out of it.
You may not see it now, but your story in this loss is still being written. And I say that as someone whose life completely transformed through my own grief process, personally, professionally, and spiritually. You know, the transformation process, not always pleasant, not always comfortable.
No, that's it's not like getting a makeover at Nordstrom.
Right.
It's a very, very deep, deep transformative thing. But what happens is that we typically, when we turn our suffering over to God and say, God, can you make something out of this? Please don't let this be wasted. Please. He will. And what happens a lot of times is that we become more compassionate toward others who are also suffering. It's but the comfort with which he comforts us, we can turn around and comfort others. And this was shocking. That's my story for sure. I didn't even know how to grieve. I was the queen of numb, go back to work, forget everything that happened, stuff the emotions. And when God got a hold of me through a spirit of conviction, through a friend who said, hey, I've never seen you grieve. Boy, those words got me, and I got myself in the grief group and with Megs, and through that, I just felt so much comfort. It felt so good to talk about things and to understand all the emotions. And the next thing you know, I feel like I'm supposed to lead the grief group online. I'm like, oh my goodness, only God can do that. Only God can take someone out of their suffering and their loss and kind of ignorance is really where I was, and redeem something out of it. And I'm so grateful. It's such an honor.
I think that there is an invitation in the midst of suffering. And it's really this question of, okay, what do you do with your grief? And so, you know, here's just three simple, doable invitations. So don't think of these as assignments, right? But where do you start? Well, first, we got to tell God the truth, not the polished version, but the real gritty one, right? The unfiltered one, not I'm sad. I'm sad and I wish I had my loved one back. That's true, but there's more depth than that. You know what? It's not fair that we went through this. You know, I've shared that my sister who had passed away from complications of a car accident, prior to that and unrelated to the car accident, she had struggled with addiction for many years. And so she was sober for about 4 years at the time of her car accident. And I got to tell you, I had a lot of anger around us going through all of this addiction. If you have been around someone with addiction, it is a chaotic swirl. There is damage that happens to relationships. There is trust that has to be rebuilt. There's just time that is wasted. And so, you know, part of my suffering and telling God the truth was I was mad. I was mad that we endured all of this addiction and we fought to the other side of sobriety just for her to die. Like, where this is supposed to be like our smooth highway, fresh concrete, all, you know, all gas, no brakes. And we were denied that. And I had to acknowledge that. I had to acknowledge that truth so that I could work through that suffering.
Another invitation is let your grief be what it is right now. We talk a lot in the group about the different stages of grief and where are you, and kind of keeping an eye on, like, where am I? Am I still in shock? Am I moving to, have I accepted the reality? Have I retreated from my friends? Am I in transition? Where am I? And just let it be where it is. So much of our society wants us to rush through grief because they don't know what to do with people that are grieving. It's very difficult for other people, but God doesn't find it difficult at all. In fact, in our weakness, he is made strong. So when we're weak and we're suffering, that's when he can really show off and do things in our life, heal old traumas that maybe we went into grief with. He does amazing and crazy and beautiful things. So wherever you are, allow yourself to be there, but be with God. Don't be in your grief stage alone. Just keep telling him the truth. Keep lamenting. Keep saying, God, I don't like this. This is not how things are supposed to be in my judgment, right? And these are my emotions around it. And just keep turning to him. He's going to be present with you when you invite him in. Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears me and lets me in, I will come in and and we will eat together, which is the most intimate expression of spending time together. If you open the door, he will come in.
Mm. And then the last one, you know, it's going to be based on hope. We have to be anchored to hope. And hope is not knowing why, right? We're not going to have the answer to all of our why questions. And even if we did, it's not going to change anything. But hope is knowing who walks with you. Friends, I have seen so many people grieve without hope. What a desolate place that just sucks all meaning and purpose out of life. And there's hope in Christ. There is hope in suffering, knowing that he is going to redeem our story in ways that we can't even imagine.
And what's fascinating about our faith is that when we begin to suffer, we can count on hope coming. Because scripture, there is a formula. Suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. And character, hope. So we can kind of train ourselves. And speaking as the older person here, I can tell you that this is true. Because when you live long enough and you have a lot of suffering and you have that, you know how the story goes. When the suffering starts, now I'm like, okay, God, I know you're going to bring something good out of this. I'm going to have pre-hope. I'm going to pre-hope right now in the middle of suffering because I know it's going to come. It doesn't mean that I pretend that it's not bad. It just means I know where we're going. I know you're going to change me. You're going to make me better and stronger. You're going to shape my character to look more and more like Jesus, because that's what the goal of our faith is in our life, is to be formed in his character and in his competency. And that is what brings us hope, because we feel closer to him. It doesn't change the fact that we've lost someone that we dearly love. But if we can remember the formula that there is a through line, when suffering starts, hope is on its way. It's a promise from God.
Absolutely. And grief is not a detour from faith. It's often the road faith walks, you know, and that reframe is so powerful and transformative in our healing process.
And it's funny, because if you think about what would life be like if everything were perfect, it would be we can't comprehend that, quite honestly, because we've never really experienced it. This is our known reality. And so the more that we understand that, you know, there's the upside down part of God's kingdom is that he brings beauty from ashes. And there is something even more beautiful than just something being perfect all the time. I don't know. Maybe that, again, that's age speaking. But there is really beauty in the way God does things. His thoughts are higher than ours. His ways are not our ways. But when we allow ourselves to open ourselves and say, okay, I know I'm going to suffer for a while, but God, I trust you. I know what you're doing, and I'm gonna believe the hope is coming. So we just want to pray over you and release a little blessing. So God, we you're the God who sees. One of your names is the God who sees, and so you see the suffering that's going on with every person listening, Lord. And just ask that you would release pre-hope, that you would release hope in people, that they can take their pain to you, that. They can trust that you see them. They can trust that they can invite you in, and you will come in and you will make yourself known to them right in the middle of their story, right when it seems like, oh my gosh, it can't get any harder. That's exactly where you show up. So Lord, we just praise you for your character. We praise you for who you are, your consistency. You do not change. We love you, we trust you, and we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Friends, thank you for joining us for another episode of the Surviving Grief Podcast. We want to hear from you. We want to hear your story, where you're at in your own process, content that you'd like to hear more from. You can connect with us via email at podcast@crossroads.net. We look forward to having you on another episode. Thanks.
Surviving Grief is a production of Crossroads Church, Cincinnati, Ohio. If you'd like to connect or share your own story, reach out to us at podcasts@crossroads.net. That's podcasts with an S at crossroads.net. We'll see you next time.